Tell me, what is this story about this lethal fungus that's going on? What is this?
Well, you know, you may have seen on medical websites in the last 3 or 4 weeks, there have been featured articles here and there, relatively short, not with a lot of information, but the headlines have read something like, 10 people have reportedly died in northwestern U.S. after infection with fungus.
Yes.
And that caught my attention for sure. Well, that fungus is called Cryptococcus gattii, also known as C. gattii. It's found in soil, trees, and plants. And until now, it's a plant fungus species that usually has been found only in South America, Australia, Africa, and New Guinea. And that particular fungus had never been seen before in North America ever before 1999. That's when Canadian doctors in Victoria and Nanaimo on Vancouver Island had emergency room patients who suffered pneumonia and meningitis, and lab tests confirmed the surprising infection of this C. gattii fungus. What was it doing in Vancouver Island? And about that same time, veterinarians in the region were also treating dogs, cats, and other animals with breathing problems also caused by C. gattii fungus infections. Then, in January 2006, the first American case of human C. gattii fungus infection was confirmed in a patient who lived in the San Juan Islands of Puget Sound in Washington State. Well, Canada has now reported a total of 200 human patients and 19 deaths, and that's a 10% death rate, while in the United States, the Centers for Disease Control has identified 50 cases in Washington State, Oregon, Northern California, and Idaho. 10 of those died. That's a 20% death rate.
That's huge.
Well, here's the good side. This is really a mystery, but so far, it is not too common. We're talking about in 10 years, 270 patients in Canada and the United States with 29 deaths. And let's hope that this stays confined, but that is the worry, George, and that is why I'm doing this news update tonight, because medical people are extremely concerned about the fact that it has been spreading. Now, recently, I talked with the head of a Duke University Medical Center research team that has gone to Vancouver Island and the northwestern United States to study the soil, the plants, and the trees, and they do find Cryptococcus gattii fungi all over. And they know that it is thriving and spreading. And the head of that team is Joseph Heitman, MD and PhD, chair and professor in the Department of Molecular Genetics and Microbiology at the Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina. I asked Dr. Heitman if he and his medical team were surprised to learn that the Southern Hemisphere fungi was making people and animals sick in the Northern Hemisphere region of Vancouver Island, Washington State, Oregon, Northern California, and Idaho. Here now is Dr. Joseph Heitman from Duke University Medical Center.
Everybody was taken completely by surprise because there had been no cases prior to 1999, and suddenly there was a whole series of cases occurring in both patients and animals. And fungal outbreaks are also very rare and uncommon, so this was sort of a unique occurrence, and everyone was taken very much by surprise. And one of the first questions everyone asked was, where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
How are they being exposed?
But the fact that it surprises you and other medical experts says something has shifted in the environment that is allowing this fungi to attack people and animals.
Certainly there's something that we think is causing it to increase in its distribution in the environment. And I don't think one can say whether that is global warming. I'm not sure one can say it's due to introduction of new pesticides. We don't really know. We do know, though, that we can document that the organism can be carried on car tires great distances, on people's shoes, that it can be found in the water, that porpoises that sun off the coasts of Vancouver. Vancouver Island or Puget Sound can become infected with it and die of fulminant pneumonia. There have been an increasing number of cases in animals in the area, dogs and cats and elk, alpaca, sheep, very broad range of animals being infected. But still, the numbers are relatively lower, and I would say it still remains an uncommon or a rare cause of infection.
But a mystery.
Some aspects of it are a mystery. There may be an unrecognized number of similar cases within the U.S. of people who've traveled to Seattle or Portland or Vancouver. I don't think there'll be a lot of cases, but there are at least six examples that have been published already of travelers to the region who almost certainly acquired their infection in the Pacific Northwest and then went somewhere else very far from it. It's also possible that it'll spread in the environment, but not adjacent geographically. It may be that suddenly it pops up somewhere else in Canada or in the U.S. Some material that has the fungus in it is transported somewhere else. So we are involved in surveillance of cases that are occurring throughout the U.S., and Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta also has a very active working group involving Washington State. These are the state health departments in Washington State, Oregon, California, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, and Alaska.
What are the symptoms?
Well, this is a fungus that we're exposed to by breathing it in, by inhaling it from the environment. So the first place it causes infection is in the lungs, and it can also spread to the brain or the central nervous system to cause meningitis. What it would cause is either a pneumonia or a meningitis.
And meningitis is what causes inflammation on the surface of the brain between the brain and the skull and causes terrible headaches?
That's right. That's right. And so this can cause meningitis or can also infect the brain itself. But you're right. It's very commonly associated with headache and also with fevers. These can be pretty severe illnesses associated with night sweats, fatigue, severe weight loss. Some of the other signs of meningitis are visual changes or neck pain. And then the pneumonia, typically this is described as a very severe cough lasting weeks to months and associated with shortness of breath and also with chest pain.
Does anybody so far have any idea about why it would translate as symptoms in meningitis in some people and pneumonia in others?
That's a very good question. Some patients seem to have fairly restricted lung infection. Others, people seem to have more just meningitis. Some people have both. And it's a very good question why it might present differently in different patients. And it may have to do with the amount of the organism that people are exposed to. It may also have to do with patient risk factors, and it may also have to do with human genetics at some extent. We're all somewhat different from each other.
And so far, as we're speaking in the spring of 2010, the fungus has caused disease in Vancouver Island in Canada, parts of Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. How likely do you think it is that this fungus will continue spreading throughout other provinces in the United States?
Since January 2007 to now, all of these cases have occurred in Washington State and in Oregon State. Now, the Center for Disease Control set up a working group, and they've identified one case in Idaho and three patients in Northern California. Our concern is that it will continue to spread geographically.